Bibles. Make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you believe it's already the 1st of March? Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Starting with verse 11. I want to ask you a question. This is in probably everybody, yeah. Have you ever lost your keys? What do you do to find those keys? Everything. Turning over, you're looking in the sofa, under the sofa, the lazy boy chairs, you're picking up the chairs, you're looking in the trash. You are looking everywhere. You backtracking, you're going in your car. You take just about everything out your car except maybe the seats, maybe even that if you need to. But you become frantic, huh? Because keys are very important to us, because keys unlock our vehicles, our homes. We have that, just about every aspect of our lives, it unlocks something. We have a key ring with all our fun stuff with it, our homes, everything. But we become frantic when we can't find it. Have you ever lost your glasses? People that wear glasses. That's why we keep a lot of pairs all over the house. one by where we sit. One in the bathroom, one by our bed, we just have it all over just in case, If we lose it, we're trying to find a pair of glasses. Now this is the cake of all things, this one. Have you ever lost your cell phone? We're a society that cannot live without cell phones. You and I become frantic, huh? That's like, years ago, we barely had a phone in the house. A few pay phones down the road somewhere, Just make sure you had 10 cents to put in there. You got a little dime. But here we just get frantic because we can't find that phone, and we will do whatever it takes to find it. We ask our spouses to call it, Hopefully. It's not on silent, Somebody to call it, and finally when we find it, it's like, oh, but our blood pressure rises. We get, a little frantic there, scared a little bit, and just looking for it because that's all our contacts for our phones and a lot of other information, But we do all kinds of things to find it. Jesus paid the price on Calvary's cross for our salvation. He paid it all. Therefore, all who accept that salvation become the property of God the Father. Jesus has done everything he could do to bring back humanity back to himself, back to the Father. He has done everything. He went on the cross. He laid himself down as a sheep to the slaughter. He could have destroyed every human being that was on earth at that time. But he knew that the shedding of blood would be the remission of sin and the shedding of innocent, pure blood before God that had never sinned needed to be sacrificed so that we could become back unto God because we were lost. We had no redeeming grace. Except, just trying to look for God, but we had no redeeming grace. We were lost. We needed God to come and look for us, to find us, to bring us back unto Him. We were God's property. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, it says that we were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We were bought with a price that no human being besides God Almighty Jesus Christ could have paid. Thank God for the price that He paid. Thank God for the price that He paid in giving of His Son, the Father, in Jesus coming and dying upon the cross for us. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes we look at that and sometimes we may take it for granted, but we should never take it for granted. We should get up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, because if it wasn't for your grace and it wasn't for your blood and it wasn't for your mercy, where would we be today? Never take the things of God for granted. And I know as human beings we do, even though we may not try to, but sometimes we take things for granted, especially from God. But thanking Him for what He's given unto us. You know, we know the scripture in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of the Father for His people is more than what we ever could imagine. We are the property of God. We are His property. We are His. We willingly gave our lives to Him. We are His. So whatever He asks us to do, we should do it. Whatever He puts upon our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we should what? Do it. Whenever He impresses upon our hearts to do something, we are to what? Do it. Because He knows what's best. And His children are led by the Spirit of Almighty God. Sons and daughters of the Almighty God are led by the Spirit of God. You might say, well, Pastor, what if He lays something upon my heart or tells me to do something and I don't do it? You get with Him, you ask forgiveness, and you go on. Don't let the devil speak evil of you. Don't let the devil bombard you. Don't let your own mind come against you, but you go to God and you ask forgiveness. And let me tell you, when you ask forgiveness, God Almighty, through the blood of Jesus, forgives us. And He remembers it no more. And we keep our faith and our trust in our God. I want to read Matthew 18. Look at verse 11, starting with verse 11. It says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And we know that. He's come to save who? Humanity. He's come to save us. He's come for humanity upon the earth to bring them back to the Father. Verse 12. How do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? Definitely. And if so, that he find it, verily I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Here we see Jesus is what? The great shepherd. He's really speaking to the church, if you want to say it that way. Sheep. He never calls the world sheep. The world is what? What? Goats. Goats. He's talking really to the church, or to church people, or people that have received Him as Christ, as Lord and Savior. And He says, if one goes astray, talking about His children, And we need to realize that, that sometimes we can get to the place where things are coming against us, huh? And that's hard. You know, just the bombardment of the things of the world, trying to handle certain things in families and, you know, jobs and, you know, things. And maybe we let those things come before us. And it diverts maybe our attention away from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it diverts our hearts away from Him some. And we start to stray and go a different direction than what God wants and what God says. What does God say He will do? If He sees you or I going astray, what will He do? He will go after us. That's why a lot of times, and hey, we can go astray in church. You can go astray and not come to church. I mean, you know, that's why there's many people that are home that once served God, that once gave their hearts to God, that are lost sheep. And God is working upon them, looking towards them, and trying to woo them back into the church. And for whatever reasons, it could be hurt in church, it could be whatever's happening upon their lives, whatever it is. But for somehow, some reason, they've been diverted. And now they're home, not serving God. Not serving God in the capacity or the way that God would want them to. They've gone astray because of hurt, anger, bitterness, strife, whatever it is. And God by the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm looking towards them. God by the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm going after them. Thank God He came after us, huh? Some of you have children, some of you have parents, some of you have aunts and uncles and whoever that once knew God and has gone astray from God. You might say, well, Pastor, have they lost their soul? All we can look at is fruit. God knows better than us. But I tell you what, there's still some that, yes, they may be home, but they're still looking to God for a little bit. And God keeps pushing at them. God keeps drawing them in. They go somewheres. God sets them up. They go somewheres to a store. They start talking to somebody. They find out they're saved. They start talking to them about God. Or they somewheres in a store or wherever they at in their cars, and somehow a song comes on that draws them by the Spirit of God. Are they wherever shopping and God will send somebody their way? And for some reason, that person He sends is an anointed, Spirit-filled, born-again believer that starts speaking to them. That's God setting them up. That's God, because of His love and His care for His people, keeps drawing them back, people. Look, keeps drawing people back. That's the kind of God we serve, people. Because He knows what's coming. He knows what's going to happen. You keep interceding for your children. You keep interceding for your family. You call them forth, as the Bible says, that they will serve God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Call them forth. Yes, they may have gone astray. But God says He will go. He will go after them. And we pray that they will submit to the will of the Father. And they will come back into the fold. If the people that once served God would come back, there'd be massive revival. Huh? It's true, people. Massive revival. Not little revival, massive revival of souls coming back to the Lord. It would be massive. Because probably every one of us can name, I don't know how many of them, that we know. We don't even have to think so much. We just know people that once knew God, that are not maybe serving God anymore, or they just home, don't want to have anything to do with church and church life and whatever it is. But I tell you what, don't ever think that God has given up on these people. And we can't give up on them either. We got to call them forth. We got to call them back in. We got to speak forth that they will come back into the fold and they will submit to the Spirit of God. Submit to what God wants and what God is looking at because of the love of the Father towards these people. When you are around people, invite them to church constantly because God is calling them forth. See, all we got to do, we're oracles for God. All we got to do is say, okay, come. Invite them. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one that draws them and convicts them. A church can't convict him. The preaching of the gospel can go forth with power and authority, but it's the power and authority of the Holy Spirit that convicts a human being to submit their lives to the Lord and to give their Lord's and to get right back with God. The power of Almighty God. Look at this. We always have to do what is right, people, no matter what. Jesus is the great shepherd. It says this, verse 13, and if so be that he find it, that's a hard statement. Because the commentary says, proclaims the fact that it is possible that the sheep be not found. Oh. That means the resistance to the Spirit of God. You know, how many times has God worked upon our hearts and we resisted? We said, no, that's a resistance. Or we delay. That's a resistance. Huh? When we say no or delay or go in a different direction, that is delaying God, that is a resistance. We are not to resist the Holy Spirit. We are to follow the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit of Almighty God. His children shall be led by the Spirit of God. That's why it's so important. God says to pray for the lost, pray for the sheep that have been lost, because he's going forth and trying to draw them in. But some he may not, and you know God can find all of them. What he means is on their part, they have resisted him and will not come back. Their hearts have turned hard towards God. Look, we got to make sure that our hearts never turn hard towards God, towards the things of God, that our hearts stay pure, that our hearts stay pliable. That doesn't mean things won't come. Things will come our way. It will come. But we, as children of the living God that serve a living God that made everything in this world, that has taken care of us, we can look back on the things that God has produced for us, how he made plans for us, how he supplied for us, how he gave his life for us. Looking at all the benefits of what he's done for us, that we can keep our hearts right no matter what. Saying, Father, I forgive him or her. Lord God, give me a heart after you. Because you see, that's the devil. He's trying to destroy the faith of the church. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please who? God. So the single most important thing the devil tries to do is destroy the faith of the church, destroy the faith of the pastor, destroy the faith of the people. And if he can do that, he destroys the church. A hard statement, but it's truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If he can destroy our faith in what God has done and what God will do, and in the word of God and what Jesus has done for us, if he can divert our eyes off of Jesus and put our eyes on circumstances and things, he's done his work. Don't let the enemy come in and destroy your faith. Let the word of God build your faith to believe. And when something comes your way, because your faith is in Christ, when something comes your way, yes, it will hurt. But what you're going to think is, okay, Lord, I've seen what you've done. And if you don't come through on this time, my faith is still in you, no matter what. And what he has done for us. See, we live by a different standard than what the world lives. We live by a different standard. We live by the standard of the Word of God and what it says for us to do and how to live. There, the lost sheep are out there, people. Let's get them. You might say, how do you do it? When God brings somebody your way, don't back up. Don't back up from what you know God wants you to share with them. Invite them to church. Invite them because God is, the Holy Spirit is working. And when the Holy Spirit is working, when you invite, it's the Spirit of God to get them here. We have to be the oracles. He's the worker. That doesn't mean he takes demands from us. Oh, no. We're not God. Make sure we put that right. He is God. But he has chosen humanity because we've been made in the image of our God to be the oracles of his word, to give out the word of God, to give out how they need to be saved, to give out, to call them back home. And it's the Spirit's job, the Holy Spirit, to come and draw them back unto him. He's working. He's working. He said, they said in the last days, God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. That means the lost sheep. A great revival will come from the lost sheep in the last days. He's calling them home. 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 And home is with him and the church that God wants them to be in. Calling them home. What we got to do is share the gospel. Share the gospel. Tell them about Jesus again. Tell them how he forgives them. Be the oracle that God has chosen us to be. Praise and glory and honor unto our God. Letting God be God and letting him do a mighty work in the last days. Wow. Letting God move upon a church like never before. Praise God. He's looking for a people that will humble themselves and pray and seek his face. Saying, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. And letting God be God. Now, look at this. We live by a different standard, people. You know, we live by a different standard. Here I am walking on the sidewalk to a house. And, you know, you look below and behold, you see $5 bill. Oh, I said, oh, that's nice. Picked it up. Thank you, Lord. Nobody's home. Must be mine. And then I thought, I said, Lord, if I lost this, what would I want to do? What would I would want somebody else to do? So I took it and I put it in their mailbox. No one knew anything. No one knew. See, God a lot of times will set things up, not to trick us, that's not in his business, but to see what's in our hearts. And I remember putting it in the box and went back to the truck, sat in there, and I turned and I said, Lord, thank you. Because I could have kept the $5 and nobody would have known. $5 is $5. Thank you, Lord, for it, but, you know, $5 is $5. See, we live by a different standard. We do what is right, even when no one's looking. We do what is right because our God is looking. We do things right because the Holy Spirit is there to help us to do things right. Now, hey, when we fall, we know there's a God that can forgive us, and we go on, and we take that part. But look, the Holy Spirit's job, one of them is to convict believers of sin. And also, the Holy Spirit, another one, there's many of them, but the Holy Spirit, another part, is to convict the world of sin. It says that when he comes, he will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's found in John 16:8. The power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. I want you to turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 14. And there's so much more in those scriptures, Lord, that you can get into, but for time's sake, we can't. Luke 14, look at verse 16, please, starting there. It says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them who were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one constant consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray you have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray you have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as you have commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Here we see a certain man, and I know it's the illustration of Jesus preparing. And he prepared everything he could, the man, for that supper. And when it was time for them to come, one said he was getting married. One said he had oxen to tend to. One was just busy and all that stuff. Jesus has made a great supper for us one day, and we know we're going to be there. God is compelling people to come in. We got to herald it forth, people. Just as the people did not come, the ones that he thought would have come. He says, now go, servant, to the highways. You want to say byways, whatever. All the different places. And just call them forth in to my supper. Call them in. Compel them. Compel means to almost force them to come in. God is telling us, compel the lost. Compel the lost sheep. That means they once knew God. And maybe they didn't. Compel those people to come in. You might say, well, how do you do that? You tell them. Come. 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 You might say, well, Pastor, I've invited, but the Spirit of God is saying to us today, tell them to come. Tell them to come. Tell them to come. Go back to your children again and say, hey, I hadn't seen you in a while in church. Come back to church. Come back. Hadn't seen you in a while. You need to get in church. Come back. Compel them. You see, I think it's in Romans where he was talking to Abraham and he says, call those things that are not as though they are. Now, people have gone astray with that stuff. Not good. But it's still the scriptures. When the Spirit of God compels us to do something, that means we are to do it, and he calls those things that are not as though they are. He backs up what he says. But when the Spirit of God does not tell us something and we call those things that are not as though they are, it won't happen. The difference is when God approves it, when God says it, it will be done. We've had people go out and call upon a new vehicle, and God never told them to do that. That's false. You're using God for your own source. Don't do it. Now, if God speaks to you and said, I'm going to bless you with a new vehicle, that's different. That's totally different. That's different. Or a new house or a new clothes or whatever it is. I don't care. Whatever it is. But when God speaks, when the Holy Spirit speaks and says, go, tell them. People, this is this week. Wherever you are, tell the people to come to church. Tell them. Compel them. Let me tell you. You might say, well, what if they say no? What if they say yes? Because you know why? The Spirit of God has gone forth already to make a way where there seems to be no way. To compel them to come in. We walk by the Spirit and not by sight of what we see, but we walk by what the Spirit of God says and does. He has compelled them to come in, so He's working. And when He works, we go and we do the bidding of the work, and He brings them in. That's the Spirit of God. God's saying, get out there, people. Get out there and don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed and call them forth. Call them forth. Tell them you need to come back. I don't care. Honestly, I'm to the place. I don't care where they go to church. Because I know the church is out there. And I know what's being preached. And I know it's false doctrine. And I know it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And God is saying, get them out of there. The church, we need to pray them out. We need to get them back. We have to do it by our voices. We got to do it by our faith in our God. And the best thing is this, people. God has approved of us to do it. Compel them. You might say, well, you have scripture to back that up? Just read some scripture to you. But also remember this. When Noah finished building that ark, not before. When Noah finished building that ark, him and his wife and sons and daughter-in-laws, it says the Spirit of God went forth. And Noah, just there with his family. And when it was almost time to shut that door by the Spirit of God, it says the Spirit of God came and went to those animals and brought them two by two into that place. The Spirit of God went forth and drew them in two by two. Now there was some seven. There was some, the clean animals, seven. You know, there was some. The unclean animals, two by two, male, female. And Noah stood there and his family and watched. That must have been a sight, people. I wish God would have filmed it for us. That we could have, we believe, we know the word. But boy, to see it. Can you imagine the Spirit of God going forth? And he sees these rabbits there and he chooses two of them. A male and a female. And the Holy Spirit says, come on, boys and girl. And they just coming in, hopping all their way. They pass by the lions. The lion, they're coming. They pass by the elephants. They pass by the horses. I mean, all the animals. Tame as could be. Because when the Spirit of God moves, all the evil in this world passes away. It compels it to go when the Spirit of God is poured out upon a church. I'm compelling you to go by the Holy Spirit, people. I'm telling you. Don't be ashamed. Wherever you are, say, I want to invite you. Just invite them to church. We built this place. The ark has been built. And we just stand and say, okay, Lord, bring them in. Bring them in. I mean, the guy that helped Ron lay this carpet. God's working on him, huh? I know it. working on the best, the best, the best. God's working upon that man. He said he's coming to the men's meeting. That's good. Hey, look, don't be ashamed. Remember this. God the Holy Spirit has your back. All he wants us to do is open our mouths. Invite them. Pray with them. You know, let God be God. They were pastors. They go to another church. I don't care anymore, honestly. I don't care about that anymore. Because I know this. If God is working, that means God knows what they need. And I don't want a lost soul ever. If we can stop it. If we can stop it. We want God to move. And as he brought in those animals, we're going to see a mass revival take place like we've never seen before in this area. Don't be afraid. Just invite them. Say, hey, come on. I'll go pick you up. Whatever it is. And let God move upon that situation. You know, it took Noah to build it. God could have spoke that ark into being, Lord, in an instant. But you see, God made Noah and his sons and their wives build that boat. Because you see, God is more interested in a man's heart than producing something instantly. I know it doesn't say a lot about Noah. It does say some things. But I know God must have worked upon Noah's heart all that time he was building. Every time he put mud, I don't know, I'm sure they didn't use nails. I'm sure there was no nails then. But whatever he did to build that boat, however God told him, he saw God come around and produce for him. He saw God come in a way that just helped him with his strength and his power to build that boat. It wasn't just no ordinary boat. This was a massive ship. Very long to save the world and humanity and all the animals in it. So this is it. Go out compelling today and tomorrow and during the week and next week. Never stop. Never stop. Telling people about the Lord. Never stop inviting them to church. Because you never know, you see. You do your part and the Holy Spirit comes around and does his. Cool? Okay. You see? And God moves in a way that we've never seen him move before. See, God is saying, go. 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 There's a lost and dying world out there, people, that needs Jesus Christ. They need Jesus Christ. They may not think so, but they need him. And God, the Holy Spirit, is moving upon this area like we've never seen before. The Spirit of Almighty God. And he's working and convicting. But he needs a people that will share the gospel. Keep on doing what you're doing. Rev it up some more, people. Don't let opportunities go by. Don't look at what they wear. Don't look at what they look like. Only look at a soul. It's a soul. Could be in heaven for eternity or hell for eternity. You do your part in compelling. Compel the lost to come in. Get on the phone this week and call your children. Get them in church. Call them. Say, look, you've been upon my heart, and I'm telling you, God's going to go before. He's already working on him. He's already working. You call him forth, and you say, look, come, come, come. You might say, well, Pastor, why are you preaching this? I'm not preaching this to fill these pews. I'm not. I'm preaching it because the Spirit of God says to do it. He knows the lost. And a people need a leader. That's just like when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they had a leader. Every time God took control of things, he always had a leader. Because if he didn't, they would go astray. Even with a leader, sometimes it was hard. And we have the Holy Spirit as our leading guide. Go forth. Compel them. Go forth. Let's not be like the virgins, you know, the 10 virgins when they run out of oil. We don't want to run out of the oil because the bride's coming. Keep it full. Keep it full of oil. That's the Holy Spirit. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, people. The Holy Spirit has set forth unto this church as he has put a banner of righteousness over this place, has staked it out as his own. Go and compel. Go and compel. Go and say. I mean, that doesn't mean you got to be rude. No, I'm just saying, just speak forth. Say, come, 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 come. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Submit your life to the Lord. Submit your life to the Lord. Tell them about Jesus. Compel them to come in before the door is shut by God. What a day that will be. It will be a day when he returns of rejoicing as we go. But it will be a day of mourning for the lost sheep that are still here. A sad day. Beautiful day and a sad day, all in the same day. Amen. God bless. You may stand, please. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Compel them. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As every head is bowed for just a minute, as everybody, whoever's watching on Facebook and stuff, I want to ask you an important question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you'd like to do so this morning, would you please raise your hand so we'll know? I see your hands. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Amen. Let's all pray together because we do have a few people that raised their hand, and even with Facebook. So would you repeat this prayer after me? Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my Lord, as my God, and as my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. Lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may look this way. Amen. I know Jelaine and I, we appreciate you guys. We love you and we thank God for you. Amen. Jelaine, why don't you close us in prayer this morning?
Father, we thank you for this word, Lord, that has gone forth today, Father. I pray that you would place it in our heart and remind us of it, of this week, Lord. Father, bless your people today. Be with them, Lord. Let them have a great week. In Jesus' name, amen.